So much reading.
Good afternoon. I declare the July meeting of the Naffshire Council open. And pay respects to the traditional custodians of the land which we're meeting on today, with Andy and Bivman people. And pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Just a reminder that these meetings are audio recorded for general dissemination to the people of Western Australia. We have one, no apologies. Public question time. In that time of the meeting when members of the public can front the dais and give us their name and address and ask a question of myself, the CEO of So any members of the public wish to ask questions?
Any of that's turned on for you? Thank you, Mr. President. And I would like to follow this with an address to the council, but my questions specifically are, is the council currently engaged with any landowners discussing subdivision of their property?
I see you.
Thank you. Yeah, there is a number of subdivision conversations that the Shire is holding within the town and the surrounding of the town area. Noting that WAPC or the West Australian Planning Commission are the ones who determine those subdivision approvals. I can't say whom they are, but they do vary from everything from some are conceptual, some have are going through the subdivision components with WAPC and we're having input to that. And some are multi-lot, some are single lot, and those sorts of things. So yeah, we are having conversations with people.
I'll just correct what I'm supposed to do. Lot 79, Aspen Road, Nanna. Moving on to questions. So can you tell me by number, is there 1, 2, 5, 10?
There's approximately four or five separate ones that I'm aware of. Now our planning team do engage with others that I might not necessarily know about, but I'm aware of about four or five.
Okay, I'll get back to that in the address. Another question is, I understand that Gracilis Road has relevant approvals and is only waiting for funding. Is this correct?
So the Shire has, through the chair, the Shire has received in principle support from DBCA to establish a new 4 metre wide gravel surface for the full length of that track for the reasons of as a fire emergency escape route. This is not a formal agreement yet, but they've given us in principle on an email. The next step for us is to obtain a bushfire assessment to determine whether that escape route, as they've agreed, would be sufficient for it to meet the Planning Commission's rules around allowing subdivision in that area. If not, we have to go back to them if council wish to go down of trying to support the North Nanup area to be subdividable, then we'd have to go down back to the route and talk to DBCA around, you know, does that need to be a double lane full bitumen road, or does it can it be a double lane gravel road, or does it need to be a little bit wider with passing lanes? But we need a bushfire assessment that will actually determine that if it's possible or not, because if it's not possible to get it from a subdivision perspective, then we council have the in principle approval to then establish the all weather track for a fire emergency escape for the residents out there anyway. And I know in the past council have been supportive of that, and then it's just about finding a budget allocation to actually construct that gravel track.
Okay, Mr. President, so I'm hearing double talk there. One moment it is approved and another moment it's not approved. So is it approved or isn't it approved?
It, through the chair, it depends what context you're after. If it's purely for a secondary escape, emergency fire escape route for that area, then we have in principle support to establish a 4 metre wide gravel track.
Okay.
If the purpose is for to, one, provide that emergency escape for the area, but also have the added benefit of being able to, for people to be able to subdivide in that area, then we need to have the fire management report, which will tell us if and what we have to do to get that in terms of what needs to be constructed.
All right, so following on from that, I understand that a resident over in that area was advised that why don't you subdivide, you want to subdivide, we need somebody to set an example out there. Is that a fair comment?
I believe that subdivision won't be supported out there at the moment with no secondary escape route, because that's a WA Planning Commission planning policy.
But these people, we as a shire, I think, need to force them into an answer that we want. You know, at the moment we're just fluffing around. That person, as I understand it, not as I understand it, I see it, he's selling now, right? His first option was to keep living in his house, but he had to sell half the land. And he asked me about Priscilla's Road, and said, well, so I know, because all the approvals were in place, and they just had to look for funding from a shire point of view. So it sounds like that's not actually quite correct. You're not waiting for somebody to try and force that through by making an application to make people respond. Am I right or am I
wrong? From a subdividing point of view, what DBCA have agreed to at the moment, we don't know if that's adequate to satisfy the subdivisional requirements from the WAPC. So we need that fire assessment to tell us if it's possible, and if it is possible, what that road needs to be in order to make it so people can subdivide. At the moment, we've only got the in-principle approval, no formal agreement in place, to provide a secondary fire escape for that community, which doesn't help subdivision.
A statement, I just applaud the shire to work harder at it, to get that thing over the line, because it is controlling what happens out there, as far as I know. All right, thank you. Mr. President, do you want me to continue on?
Yes, just to let the two members of the public know, and to alleviate the thoughts of some of the council members present. We've moved to a new structure and of our presentation of agendas, which takes the presentation part from the main agenda at 4:30 to be taken at 4 from now on, if you've read it correctly, between 4 and 4:30, at which the general members of the public are excluded from, and it's not recorded because it's not a council meeting. So the new structure, which I believe has been passed down from Mount Sinai, dictates that until we've educated members of the public and ourselves, I'm allowing Mr. Gibb to do a presentation now, even though according to our new structure, it should have been done between 4 and 4:30. He was not to know that, and I guess 99% of the public and probably 50% of councillors don't know that as well. Ian, I'll ask you to, yes, do your presentation now.
Appreciate the opportunity, Mr. President. Okay, council is struggling with budgeting to provide now with a basic level of services. Now, council, along with a small group of other government, local governments, are dealing with the FBC not paying rates, which is a discretionary or the FBC to pay those rates to local government. I have a view that the local government minister has no interest in supporting the affected local governments. So the sceptic in me says the FBC are withholding rates being paid to the affected local governments is supported by the local government minister, as it is their stated position to rationalise the number of local governments. It will not surprise me that NANUP is one of the ministers targeted for a merger. I believe NANUP should take a more aggressive approach to dealing with the problem. Walga will give lip service to our problem, but I do not believe they have the energy to drive this situation in an aggressive way. In other words, NANUP, along with other local small local governments, need to make a lot more noise, including accusing the minister of attempting to force the attempted local government's merger with other local governments by stealth. It is a known fact that the squeaky wheel will get the oil. I was told this by the South West Regional Manager of MRD. He was reminding me that the size of Nanup compared to Busselton. I have heard Council's CEO broadcast to the community that if they have property that they would like to subdivide, come and talk to Council. I'm aware of about 8 owners who have expressed an interest in subdivision. Generally, they evaporate due to not understanding the process. I personally did get one of the 8 over the line and into subdivision, as the Shire officers set out a pathway that was confusing and overwhelming with no follow-up to the proponent. The officer needs to know, the officers need to not only provide a fact sheet, but follow up on the people who require to see if they need more help. Walk them through the document, sit with them to fill the document and help them to lodge the document. I personally have tried to initiate a subdivision. I did have a roadblock with dealing with Jane Buckland at the time, who was more interested in attacking me, remembering 2 failed charges against me to the Standards Board instead of doing her job.
I have to just be careful with what you're saying.
Yeah. I personally have tried I did receive some support with a meeting with Kim and Steve Thompson to discuss our project, but at the end of the day, we need a scheme amendment to change the zoning on a property that sits almost within the town's boundary, and only a local government can initiate a scheme amendment. The total funds generated from a subdivision on Lot 79 is in excess of $8,000. This is topical in my mind because you're looking at a budget that you are struggling to fund the community needs, and I just see this as an opportunity. If Nanup could gain just 20 additional lots, the rates base would increase by in excess of $20,000 is my estimate. Councillors, you really need to drive council officers harder to not accept that why not answers. There will be answers of yes, you need to insist on them. For instance, the council has just expanded its workforce around planning and building. I believe this provides Nanup with additional capacity, and this alone provides a capacity to say yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just make one comment on FPC. I'm not sure you're right about the minister wanting to have to amalgamate, but that's on our agenda. I wrote to our local member, Mr. Eats, Ben Eats, and suggest a plan of action to him is that he's got to identify, using opposition resources if necessary, he's got to identify that act and that part of any act, whether it's a Public Works Act or whatever, or the act that controls the FPC, identify that part of the act which prevents them from paying rates, and to institute a what's called a private members bill. I know a bit about this, but I've seen a few of them. Institute a private members bill to amend that particular act so that it's explicit in their act that governs the FPC that they must pay local government rates. His reply to me was encouraging, in that they said, oh yes, we've put that on our party room agenda and hope to have something along those lines in the near future. We'll have to take him on his word for that, but if he can get a private members bill up to amend the act which controls FPC and non-payment of rates, then he's gone a long way to solving that problem. Whether he can get cross-party support from the government benches at the same time is a moot point, but I think that's probably the only way, unless it's initiated by the government to do the same, unless it's initiated by them, and they tend to have other things to do, then this is the only way to change that particular act. So it's being worked on.
I appreciate having an answer to it, but I still think that somebody's got to keep shaking the tree from the bottom, making it uncomfortable.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? Previous questions taken on notice? Leave of absence. We have a approved leave of absence for Councillor Tang for today's meeting. That should be noted in the minutes. She put in the last time, I think, and kind of proviso that she couldn't make it back in time. Applications for leave of absence. Councillor Hanson has approved leave of absence. Are there any other applications for leave of absence? No. Confirmation of minutes. Minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 25th of June. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Curtis have moved and seconded. No alterations to that. If not, I'll declare it passed. And we get down to the minutes. Next one. There's problems now. This new system we've got, we've got to go through such a lot of Yes. Just to look up there. Yeah, confirmation that we've done this. And minutes of the special council meeting here on the 9th of July be confirmed. Moving to second place. Councillor Brown, Councillor Curtis have so moved. No alterations to that. No one's objecting. I'll declare that carried. Okay. Announcements by the Shire President, there are none. Disclosures of members' interests. I have one disclosure in today's meeting. Councillor Brown, development application for extractive industry, shale and sand, 11.1. We'll note that until that item comes up. Reports of members attending committees. We have no petitions. Members attending committees. Councillor Hanson.
Wednesday the 8th of July, the Mariko Tomas commemoration, 60th anniversary of his death in Vietnam War. Over 55 people attended, including family and members of his unit. Sincere thank you to the councillors who attended. Thursday 9th of July, strategic forum. Thursday, 9th of July, special council meeting. Friday, 17th of July, television interview with Seven News Regional to talk about the Shire's partnership and support of the upcoming Flower and Garden Festival. And earlier today, the concept forum.
Councillor Curtis?
Not quite month for me. 9th of July, strategic forum and special council meeting. And today, the 23rd. Information session.
Thank you,
Ordinary
Councilman.
Councillor Fraser.
Yes, on Wednesday the 8th of May, I also attended Teacher Thomas' 60th and Remembrance birthday day. Good turnout this time, not like some that I have attended in the past. And followed by that, went down to the community house for the lovely morning tea. And after that, I went across the road to have a cuppa with a copper. joined by some fellow locals. Very interesting situation, I thought, was in there. And then Thursday the 9th of May, had the Shire strategic meeting. Thursday the 23rd of May, the concept forum, followed by the ACM, which is just May, I mean July. And 9th of July was the special council meeting. I've got May in July, I'm sorry.
Councillor Graham.
8th of July, the Marinco Thomas 60th anniversary memorial. 9th of July, strategic forum and special council meeting, and today, earlier today, the information session.
Councillor
Slyton. 9th of July, strategic forum and special council meeting, and today, 23rd of July, the concept forum.
Okay. And that for me, I've been distracting in the last month. 11. Reports 11.1. Now I have a written request from the proponent to withdraw this from the agenda. So until we are notified otherwise, 11.1 will be withdrawn from the agenda, and that alleviates the next Councillor Brown to leave the room. 11.2. Delegated planning. You have a recommendation there on that page. Moved and seconded, Councillor Brown's move. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Brown.
Firstly, I have a question of clarification. In the list, the fourth item down, the property address is listed as Lot 30 Balmoral Road now. I haven't heard of Balmoral Road in Nanup. The closest one I found in Googling was at Carafa. There is a Balmoral Drive in Bridgetown. So I'm not quite sure whether that's an error or whether that's a residential address and whether that needs to be corrected prior to endorsing the officer's recommendation.
Through the chair, I don't have the answer for that. If you don't wish to, this is just... I presume it's probably a clerical error with possibly a postal address as opposed to the residential address. However, I can confirm that. But it is, these delegated decisions have been made, and it's just council noting them for transparency. But I'll have a look at that and confirm that address.
I'd just like to note that there is another three Airbnbs in that list, which is concerning.
You know, I'll just discuss it before it ends. If not, I shall put it. All those in favour, can just carry on unanimously. 11.3, Welga Annual General Meeting, voting nominations. Councillor Hanson. Standing orders?
Yes, please.
Councillor Hanson's moved suspension of standing orders. Councillor Brown has seconded. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Councillor Brown.
The reason is at the last count, I was told that Councillor Brown, Hanson, and Dean were attending, and I hadn't heard if there was a fourth one to find out whether we've got a proxy on council, which you can be proxy, but if there was another councillor.
Through the chair, the final councillor to confirm or if they were attending or not was Councillor Sly.
I'm not attending.
Okay, so yes, I'll be your proxy.
Okay, just so I can move it on there. Thank you. I'd like to move.
Councillor Hanson has moved for resumption of standing orders. Councillor Brown has seconded. All those in favour? Against? Carry. Councillor Hanson, you wish to move the recommendation?
Yes.
Seconder? Councillor Brown? Councillor Hanson?
The Welga Annual General Meeting is being held on the 17th of September as part of the Welga Conference. The Nanup Council is entitled to two voting delegates. I move that the Council nominates the Shire President, Councillor Tony Dean and the Deputy Shire President, Councillor Vicky Hansen, as its voting delegates, and as proxy delegates, Councillor Cheryl Brown and the CEO, David Taylor.
Councillor Brown, are you okay with that? Any other discussion? If not, I shall put all those in favour. Against, carried. Blackwood Valley Wine. Recommendation. Two-part recommendation. Councillor Brown has so moved. Councillor Curtis has seconded. Councillor Brown.
I support the officer's recommendations to continue the Shire sponsorship of the 2026 WA Boutique and Single Vineyard Wine Show. The event has a proven record track record in Nanup and has successfully showcased our region and our venue for the past 5 years. Although modest in size, it attracts respected wine judges and industry representatives who promote the Blackwood Valley as a premium food and wine destination. The requested sponsorship directly supports local accommodation providers and the use of the Shire facility, ensuring an economic development benefits remain within the community. The event also aligns with the Shire's strategic objectives of supporting tourism, local business and regional economic development, making the requested contribution good value for the Shire.
I've actually been down to check out this event last year because I was unsure on what was involved in the event, and I was very surprised on the scale of the operation and the amount of wineries involved in this event. So, and also, in fact, our resource centre, it provided the perfect setting to host that event. So I agree, it's great to see it ongoing, and those people who are involved go back and promote now as part of the Blackwood Valley Wine Region. I think it's good value for money.
Councillor Fraser.
I was just wondering, did we actually follow up with the information to find if the stopping place stood has a legal accommodation or not?
I can't see the relevance to this item at this stage.
We are supporting something and they are actually having two people staying at a accommodation. I just wanted to know, because I thought it was no longer Airbnb or whatever, but it says on there we're going to support two people staying at the stopping place.
Okay.
I'll
take that. Okay, any other for or against? If not, prepare to vote. All those in favour? Against, carried unanimously. 11.5. That's a recommendation, four parts there. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Curtis, have so moved.
The Shire appoints a Chief Bushfire Control Officer and Deputy Chief Bushfire Control Officers to provide management coordination and operational leadership of volunteer bushfire brigades throughout the district. The honorarium payments are in recognition of the significant voluntary commitment required with these roles. The responsibilities and workloads have increased substantially due to greater legislative compliance requirements and community expectations regarding bushfire preparedness and response. The recommended honorarium amounts, $5,000 per annum for the Chief Bushfire Control Officer and $3,000 per annum for deputies, is a small recognition and in no way compensates for the valued and increasingly complex work these volunteers do. The overall budget implication is $11,000 in the 2026-27 and future, and into future financial years. These particular people do a marvellous job, which would cost the Shire an awful lot more if we were to pay paid officers. So I support this motion.
Councillor Hanson. Councillor Curtis.
I think any volunteer bush firefighter in Nanup would agree that the increase in the legis-
legislative compliance has affected all fire brigades and volunteer firefighters across the Shire. We have all had to adjust to meet compliance, and the roles of the Chief and Deputy Chief Control Officers have changed considerably, and I personally have no problem in recognising the work they do. The role is no longer focused on operational firefighting activities. They now include administrative, compliance, planning and governance work, as well as community engagement responsibilities throughout the year. Nanupshire consists of 85% forest, and the importance of filling these roles is paramount to a successful fire season. They have to be available on a 24-hour basis during high fire risk periods, attendance and management at incidents, attending meetings, providing brigade support, which is just to name a few of the commitments and knowledge and skills that these roles require. I personally recommend to support this motion.
Councillor Brown.
I really wanted to move this motion, but I was too slow. But so I'm still going to read what I have prepared. I support the officer's recommendation to increase the annual honorariums for the Chief Bushfire Control Officers and Deputy Chief Bushfire Control Officers. These roles have grown well beyond frontline firefighting and now involve in significant leadership, emergency planning, training, compliance and community engagement responsibilities throughout the year. The proposed increase recognises the time, expertise and commitment these volunteers provide to protect our community, though any amount that the Shire can budget will never fully recompense the commitment volunteers undertaking these roles contribute to our community. This honorarium, and it is an honorarium, increases support the recruitment and retention of experienced brigade leaders, helping to ensure the Shire maintains a strong and sustainable bushfire response capability into the future. And I'd like to thank the volunteers who take on these very important but onerous roles for our community.
Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Slye.
I did have a quick look on the Shires and how to take their honorariums, and we're on par. By putting it up, we're on par with the other Shires local to us, with some sort of like make up for us.
Anyone else wish to speak? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against, carried unanimously. And we have an announcement from Balmoral Castle.
So just to go back to the previous question regarding the Balmoral Road, that's up in the top of Mount Foley area.
Mm-hmm. Just doesn't show up on Google.
That area doesn't show up on Google.
Learn nothing for the day.
Okay. Thank you to Kim for helping with that.
Payment of accounts, 12.1. Officer recommendation, page 196. Come on. Councillor Slyer has so moved. Councillor Curtis is second. Councillor Slyer.
Okay, with the officer recommendation, in accordance with Regulation 13 of the Local Government Financial Management Regulations 1996, Council receives the list of payments drawn for the period 1st of June 26 to 30th June 26 as detailed in this report and shown in attachment 11.2.1.
Nothing to add.
Councillor Fraser.
I've just got one question. If EFT 2025, there's a Polaris Ranger at 51,000 side by three seat. I'm just wondering, that didn't come up in our budget invite, I've never seen. I'm wondering why we need a side-by-side.
Through the chair, that's a DFES SES vehicle.
Oh, thank you.
That's a good asset for NANUP to have with all our trail development.
Oh, well, I never put it in.
And thank you to Jeff, our SESM, for that.
Yes.
Any other for or against? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? It's carried. Works and Services, realignment of Wye Road. Bushfire Management Policies. Councillor Brown, so moved. Councillor Curtis, the second. Councillor Brown.
Apologies, I'm just trying to find the actual recommendation. page
207.
I support the officer's recommendation to repeal the outdated bushfire control policies. The matters covered by these policies are already addressed through the Bushfires Act 1954, the Shire's Bushfire Brigade's local law, operating procedures and existing delegations. Removing these duplicate policies will simplify the Shire's governance, reduce the risk of confusion or conflicting requirements, and ensure bushfire management continues to be guided by current legislation and operational frameworks. This is a sensible bookkeeping measure that improves clarity without reducing the Shire's ability to effectively manage bushfire prevention and response. And I would like to move the recommendation on the three recommendations on page 207.
Councillor Curtis, did you second?
Yes, and
Councillor Hanson.
Just note there is a typo, so then it requires an amendment to the item one, repealed policies, policy change BCF5 to BVC5. So that it has its correct nomenclature. Can't even say the word.
BFC5, change that. Yep. Take the consent of the meeting. In fact, we need an amendment. Any other one speak for or against? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Gets carried unanimously. Works and services. Y Road. Moving a seconder. Councillor Hanson has so moved. Councillor Curtis seconded. Councillor Hanson.
For Council to consider the realignment and dedication of Wire Road, Darradup, to improve safety and public access to lot 1308 and lot 824, and formalise the use of the existing historic DBCA logging access track. The current situation creates confusions for road users and safety issues for emergency services. The owner of lot 1308 has agreed to undertake all survey and other requirements and the associated costs with the gazetted road closure and gazetting of the new road alignment. This is a common sense solution to safety and public access problem. The recommendation supports the road closure and new road dedication on the basis of all costs being met by the beneficiary landowners, that any upgrades will not be undertaken on the newly proposed road corridor other than maintenance grading in alignment with the Shire's roads grading program, and supports the lodgement of all required documentation with the relevant authorities, including Landgate. I fully support this motion.
Councillor Hanson. No, Councillor Curtis.
Nothing more to add.
You must be twin sisters.
Yeah.
Though, I could be your mum.
Any speak for or against? If not, I shall put all those in favour. Against, carried unanimously. No previous notice has been given of motions, no urgent business, no confidential matters. Close the meeting 5:08. Thank you.